Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
British Sunny E is the reinvention of acid house and energy king Adamski, aka Adam Paul Tinley. Sunny E was a teenager in the era when new and exciting youth subcultures frequently sprang up, and the new and updated musical genres affiliated with them constantly mutated and fed into each other. As an avid music junkie and driven by aesthetics, Sunny absorbed the best of these deep into his psyche. Most significantly, rockabilly and its wilder offspring, psychobilly. Consequently, Sunny E had now truly embarked on his cyberbilly odyssey. He taught himself to play simple chords and use the preset bass lines on a Casio Tone MT40 home keyboard. Then, with the rudimentary synthesizer, he progressed to making plinky plonky dance beats. Under various guises, Sunny spent 3 decades in the greatest night spots of the world, providing sci-fi beats for hedonists. In recent years, he has put all his focus on his primary passion and is now spurting all his creative juice in what he terms cyberbilly, a very literal description of his music, which has its basis in original rockabilly, while embracing the sounds and methods of contemporary technology. A one-man band like psychobilly originator Hazel Atkins, the self-styled Teddy Boy Time Lord, comes armed with simply a laptop and microphone, swaggering down the information superhighway to source the most rocking elements from 1955 to 2099. This is Cyberbilly, this is Sunny E. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Sunny E.
Where are you in the world and how are you doing?
Well, I'm sitting in my garden in the Vienna woods, which is just outside of Vienna, Austria.
Where, how, and what was the inspiration behind the stage name Sunny E?
Well, a few things. Initially, I was called Sunny Ericsson because I had one of those phones, as many people did, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. I just thought, wow, that would be such a brilliant name for a rockabilly singer, because if you look at any good compilation of rockabilly from the 50s, half the people on its name is Sonny. But then people kept calling me Sony, which got quite irritating. And I was kind of advised to just drop the Ericsson. So I just made it E, which seems to roll off the tongue better and stop people calling me Sony.
Let's rewind. We've had a multiple iterated career in the industry. At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, okay, I want to be in this world? And how did that journey progress?
I think when I was about 4 or 5 years old, watching Top of the Pops, which was a kind of institution when I grew up and everyone watched it, must have been watching on black and white TV even, I'm that old. The glam rock of the early 70s. I was particularly like Brian Connolly of The Sweet. He had a silver suit and long blonde hair. And I thought, I think one of ABBA had a star shaped guitar, which appealed to me too. And just little things. And pertaining to what I'm doing now, the first kind of countercultural person or subcultural person or whatever you call it, I was about 5 years old and I saw a Teddy Boy in London on a visit to my aunt who was wearing a flamingo pink drape suit, and I'd never seen anything like it, and I just thought, that's what I want to be when I grow up. And I just always kind of had ideas for music, be it melodies or beats or just concept for music, since I was a little kid. And then by the time I was 11, punk rock had been a thing for a couple of years, and inspired by that and its kind of emphasis on not having to be virtuoso musician or anything, I made some tracks and got a deal, a small record deal with, I didn't know at the time, but what's kind of historically a really cool, super cool label. I mean, now if an 11-year-old kid makes a track, it's like, so what? You know, they can have it global within the afternoon. But then it was like sending, recording onto a cassette and sending it to record companies and waiting for probably not getting a response for a few months. And then, you know, it was quite a kind of undertaking for a kid in the late 70s.
You're saying that you had a small record deal at the age of 11?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Myself and my younger brother were collectively known as the Stupid Babies, and we had a song called Babysitters, and then John Peel started playing it. For those I don't know, he's passed away a decade or so ago, but he was basically the only DJ on national radio that played anything that championed people's taste. You know, he played stuff that no one else would play on the radio, on the BBC. And I used to listen to that. And then he started playing my song. I mean, that was quite exciting because it was just as I started secondary school, it came out. I was kind of popular. I mean, I didn't get beaten up because all the older kids kind of looked after me, you know, because I'd made a record and it was all, and I, you know, I was on a national TV show once, and I was in all those sorts of magazines like NME and Smash Hits. And but then I sort of didn't do anything for another 10 years when I got involved in the Acid House thing. Well, I did do things, but not that anyone wouldn't, not of much, like, no. Always just made music and obsessed about music as a consumer and as a maker. That's all I've really ever done and all I've ever really wanted to do. And I don't know why. Not like it runs in my family or anything. So I don't know why it is. It just is.
So you re-energize and coming out, so to speak, as now Sunny E. What was the inspiration to moving to this space?
Cyberbilly. It's just, I call it because, as I said, I got the name off a smartphone. And I've always loved rockabilly since I was a little kid. You know, when I became aware of it in the 70s, they still played a lot of 50s music on the radio. Maybe they still do. I don't really listen to the radio anymore. It's just, you know, a fusion of things I like things that are rockabilly or rockabilly mixed with embracing new technologies, which in the last couple of years has really started, like, going forward. It's so exciting for me, like AI music and the potential and things I've been doing, like, by just generating stuff that I've never heard anything like it ever, and being able to have a 1950s New Orleans doo-wop group doing my backing vocals, but not like a sample I was lucky to find in a vintage record shop, but they're singing my lyrics as if I had traversed time and been in a studio with a doo-wop group in the 1950s. So all that. But then you can amalgamate them with a Bulgarian female choir and amalgamate that with, I don't know, sci-fi and anything. It's just, I love it. So cyberbilly is basically just self-explanatory. I mean, before the AI revolution, I was just surfing, you know, YouTube and stuff, getting inspiration from old clips and maybe sampling them or getting ideas, or, you know, and I was getting samples online from sample clouds or stuff. So I am making rockabilly, this kind of rockabilly formula, but applying new technologies to it. I don't really understand why loads of people aren't doing that.
And so do you still create in the acid house space, or you've moved away from that completely?
I turned down many gigs because, for me, just going and playing at sort of 90s nostalgia things, I just got bored of it. I mean, it can be fun. It depends, really. But mostly it's just kind of a bit boring. I like moving on with things. And so, funnily enough, I am doing an event where I perform under both my names as a DJ and as Sonny E doing a live set. But I only agreed to do that one because it's family friends. And I sometimes only agree to do, to DJ in the old way if it gives me an opportunity to present Sonny E to, like, for example, on Valentine's Day this year, I was offered to DJ in the Kit Kat Club in Berlin, which is a kind of swingers club, lots of naked people and very hedonistic and kind of fun. But I said, yeah, I'll only do it if I can, if Sonny E can do it too, because as an unknown artist and, you know, people are like, what the fuck, Cyberbilly? It's quite, can be quite challenging to convince people to let me play. But otherwise, yeah, I pretty much let go of it. I'm not making any music like that. I just make what I call cyberbilly, really, all the time.
You referenced the nostalgia of the festivals like the 80s and 90s and the retros, rewind festivals and all that kind of stuff. Why do you feel, and it's from all generations, there's that pull and attraction to the music from those decades?
Well, it's funny because in the 80s, there was a massive, you know, there was a big revival of 1950s music. So I guess it always, I don't know, younger people think, oh, wow, it looked better then. I don't know, but I don't know why how it all works. But I have realised, and it's pretty obvious, that in the entire history of human culture, the human race itself, and then human culture and making music, which, I don't know, someone found a fossilised mammoth horn from 35,000 years ago that was clearly, like, carved to make a flute or a, you know, something you blow in, press holes to make different tones. And the pop culture as we know it, that began in the 50s with 7-inch vinyl records and television becoming, you know, a ubiquitous thing in people's homes, and, you know, Elvis and Little Richard and Chuck Berry and, you know, the sort of pioneers of rock and roll till now, is a very, very minute little fraction of time in the 300,000 years of since we stopped being Neanderthals and did stuff other than hit each other with rocks and grunt.
Yes.
I live in caves. I mean, so in the 80s when I started going to Ibiza, if someone had sort of played a record from the 1950s, it would have been like, what the fuck's... Actually, Alfredo, who sadly passed away last year, who's sort of the godfather of Balearic music. You know, he was there where the Ibiza is a, well, it's been a party island for couple of thousand years since the Romans, but the bit that Ibiza's known for now in culture, he did play some older music. It wasn't all like acid and techno from Chicago and Detroit that sounded futuristic and like it came from outer space. He did mix in more earthy things, and I distinctly remember him playing Aretha Franklin, but mixing it well.
What's coming up over the next period of time? I know it's all secretive in your guys' world of releases, so what can you tell us is happening in the next period of time?
Well, it's not really secretive. I've released a song called Time, put it on Spotify and Bandcamp and whatever for what it's worth. That's the current available piece of music that's representative of me. And I'm doing these sort of random shows. I've got this show in Cornwall, as I said, and then I've got a show later in the month in this club in Soho in London, which is called Rock and Roll Cabaret. It's kind of one of the few places that retains the essence of Soho as it once was, well, when I first started going out in Soho in the 80s. It's got, still got, I don't mean people are walking around with padded shoulders. I mean, it's like a load of creative people, like, encouraging each other and doing things that aren't necessarily mainstream or just to get bums on seats or whatever. So that's fun, and I look forward to that. And I don't really know what's going to happen next. I was just in Japan, where there is actually still quite a big rockabilly and psychobilly scene. And for those who don't know, psychobilly was when there was the rockabilly revival, late 70s, early 80s. Psychobilly was a kind of thing that was sort of a re-energization of rockabilly when it just became a bit more contemporaneous and, like, you know, had the sort of more attitude and a bit more colour and a bit more exciting haircuts, and which, you know, was something that I loved as a teenager. And I mean, it was kicked off by the American band The Cramps, and the term psychobilly was actually from a Johnny Cash record in the 70s, and The Cramps used it to describe their music. But then there was the British psychobilly scene, the Meteors and Guana Bats and loads of groups.
You've been in the industry and you've noticed many changes. You referenced AI earlier, you've referenced Spotify. In your perception, in your mind, how have things improved and how have things have not improved in the music and entertainment space?
I'm a stereotypical middle-aged man in the sense that I just can't get my head around being judged on how many followers I have and not on the music itself, and being told that it's part of the art form now is to be, you know, showing people what coloured pants I'm wearing on, like, social media or something. I find that quite challenging. Plus, it actually makes me feel mentally ill, social media. It's not, I mean, I've enjoyed it, and I like, you know, being made aware of various things going on around the world. But at the same time, it just sort of really does my head in. And I just like to get on with making music, really. So there's that change is, and of course, now the healthy royalty checks I used to get then now go direct to Daniel Ek.
Yes.
You know, and his cronies. As much as I like streaming music and discovering new music without the hassle of having to go out and find record shops and go through old records in charity shops and stuff. I love that music's all there, and I kind of like making up my own playlists for myself to listen to just enjoy or to inspire me, because I'd sort of, but I like that aspect of it. But I don't like, and I don't really think it's fair that I only get like 0.0004 of a cent,
yeah,
or something when my music's listened to. When I got a proper record deal in the late 80s, I felt kind of, it's not really fair getting all this money for just making a few tunes. So I think people used to get paid too much, but now they don't get paid enough. So this, hopefully there'll be some balance. And then otherwise, you know, I love how we can all, you know, be in touch with each other all over the world and make music online with people that we never even meet and that sort of thing. I'm of the age where I remember when festivals would have the Hell's Angels doing security, and the security fence would be a bit of string tied between hay bales. And I'm talking about Glastonbury Festival as an example. You know, now someone that has a smartphone and Instagram account and texts people. So I know both sides of it, whereas like younger people, my daughter's generation, they don't know what it was like to arrange to meet someone in the middle of thousands of people, and if one of you didn't turn up, that was it. You couldn't text them, say, sorry, I'll be there in 20 minutes. When I first went to play in Ibiza in 1989, I didn't even have a landline number for the club or the DJ who booked me, Alfredo, who I was talked about before. I had to turn up outside the club on the night of it opened, Amnesia, which is sort of now one of the big super clubs out there, I believe. And I had to turn up and meet Alfredo in the car park on the afternoon of the opening party so I could do a sound check and stuff. No, a couple of days before, that's right, but because I missed my flight and I couldn't call anyone and say, or email them. There was no such thing as email. And eventually, just sort of the cosmos got me there on time, and the thing went ahead, and it was great, and one of the best parties I've ever been to, and I was actually actively involved in that party. And it kind of changed my life, because I'm sure that was one of the things that led to me getting a deal and led to certain people wanting to work with me, that made their and my careers go off and enabled me to have a fridge full of food for the next 35 years. But that was all done without even landlines, you know.
So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message to the listening audience, what would you like to say?
What would I like to say is, I don't know, just I'd really appreciate if people like listen to what I'm doing, because judging by the reactions I've had in all different kinds of situations I've played in over the last few years, presenting my cyberbilly, which has very little to do with what I used to do, other than it's electronic, because it's more emphasis on songs and the grooves aren't all derivative of disco or whatever. People like it. I get pleasure doing it, and I like giving pleasure by doing it, and that's kind of what I live for. So I'm at your service as the world only that I know of, Cyber Billy Mann.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.